So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 9, the passing away of Bhishma Dev, text number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yudhi Turaga Raja Vidhumra Vishvak Kacha Lulita Shramavari Alankrita Asye Mama Nishita Sharai Vibhidyamana Tvachi Vilasat Kavache Ostu Krishne Atma Yudit Raga Rajo Vidum Ravishvak
Yudit Raga Rajo Vidum Ravishvak
Kachalulita Shramavarya Lankritashye Mamanashita Sharar Vibhidyamana Tvachi Valasat Kavachestu Krishna Atma. Yudhi. On the battlefield. Turaga. Horses. Raja. Dust. Vidhumra. Turned an ashen color. Vishvak, waving. Kacha, hair. Lulita, scattered. Shmaravari, perspiration. Alankrita, decorated with. Ashye, unto the face. Mama, my. Nishita. Sharp. Sharai. By the arrows. Vibhidyamana. Pierced by. Tvachi. In the skin. Vilasat. Enjoying pleasure. Kavache. Protecting armor. Astu. Let there be. Krishna, unto Sri Krishna. Atma, mind. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. On the battlefield, where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. Purport. The Lord is the absolute form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. As such, transcendental loving service of the Lord in one of the five principal relations, namely Shanta, Dasha, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, that is, neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, filial affection, and conjugal love, is graciously accepted by the Lord when offered to the Lord in genuine love and affection. Sri Bhishma Dev is a great devotee of the Lord in the relation of servitorship. Thus, his throwing of sharp arrows at the transcendental body of the Lord is as good as the worship of another devotee who throws soft roses at him. It appears that Bhishma Dev is repenting the actions he committed against the person of the Lord, but factually, the Lord's body was not at all pained due to his transcendental existence. His body is not matter. Both he himself and his body are complete spiritual identity. Spirit is never pierced, burnt, dried, moistened, etc. This is vividly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So, also it is stated in the Skanda Purana, it is said there that spirit is always uncontaminated and indestructible, cannot be distressed, nor can it be dried up. When Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation, appears before us, he seems to be like one of the conditioned souls, materially encaged, just bewilder the asuras or the non-believers who are always alert to kill the Lord, even from the very beginning of his appearance. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, and Ravan wanted to kill Ram, because foolishly they were unaware of the fact that the Lord is never killed, for the spirit is never annihilated. Therefore, Bhishma Dev's piercing of the body of Lord Krishna is a sort of bewildering problem for the non-devotee atheist. But those who are devotees of liberated souls are never bewildered. Bhishma Dev appreciated the all-merciful attitude of the Lord because he did not leave Arjuna alone. Although he was disturbed by the sharpened arrows of Bhishma Dev, nor was he reluctant to come before Bhishma's deathbed, even though he was ill-treated by him on the battlefield. Bhishma's repentance and the Lord's merciful attitude are both unique in this picture. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a great acharya and the devotee of the humor of conjugal love with the Lord, remarks very saliently in this regard. He says that the wounds created in the body of the Lord by the sharpened arrows of Bhishma Dev were as pleasing to the Lord as the biting of a fiancé who bites the body of the Lord, directed by a strong sense of sex desire. Such biting by the opposite sex is never taken as a sign of enmity, even if there is a wound on the body. And therefore, the fighting as an exchange of transcendental pleasure between the Lord and his pure devotee, Sri Bhishma Dev, was not at all mundane. Besides that, since the Lord's body and the Lord are identical, there was no possibility of wounds in the absolute body. The apparent wounds caused by the sharpened arrows are misleading the common man, but one who has a little absolute knowledge can understand the transcendental exchange in the chivalrous relation. The Lord was perfectly happy with the wounds caused by the sharpened arrows of Bhishma Dev. The word Vidyamana is significant because the Lord's skin is not different from the Lord. Because our skin is different from our soul, in our case, the word Vidyamana or being bruised and cut would have been quite suitable. Transcendental bliss, let's see what the meaning of the word for Vidyamana, pierced by you. Transcendental bliss is of different varieties, and the variety of activities in the mundane world is but a perverted reflection of transcendental bliss. Because everything in the mundane world is qualitatively mundane, it is full of inebrieties, whereas in the absolute realm, because everything is of the same absolute nature, there are varieties of enjoyment without inebriety. The Lord enjoyed the wounds created by his great devotee Bhishma Dev, and because Bhishma Dev is a devotee in the chivalrous relation, he fixes up his mind on Krishna in that wounded condition. Om Agyanatimadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Where do we see this depth of knowledge regarding God? Where do we see it? This is an amazing depth of knowledge. Where in Christianity or Judaism or Islam is there such a concept that one could please the Lord by wounding him with sharpened arrows? This is amazing theology here. You see, you don't see this anywhere else. This is amazing. You imagine shooting somebody with arrows and having and they being pleased to be wounded by your arrows? It's amazing. But that was the relationship between Krishna and Bhishmadev. Krishna was pierced by the arrows, the sharp arrows, and he was feeling it just like showers of flowers. We certainly would not feel that way. Just like the other day we were leaving the Helsinki temple and they showered us with flowers. And it was very pleasing. But if they showered us with sharpened arrows, you see, that would not be pleasing. If we were bleeding, you know, running out the door and they were shooting arrows at us and we had blood coming down, we would not be very happy, you see. But here Krishna, he is being wounded by the sharpened arrows of Bhishmadev and he's feeling great delight to be wounded because it is in a loving relationship that this is taking place. And then after that scene, then Krishna comes to see him at his deathbed. Not that, oh, you shot me with arrows and you're now my enemy, so I would, you know, but no, he's coming in full mercy. He's coming to bless Bhishmadeva at the final moments of his life. So last night, that boy, he found it inconceivable that God could have a form. That form is limiting God. God cannot have a form because that would limit him. But these impersonalists don't realize that actually they are limiting God by saying he cannot have a form. The fact is that God can have a form that is unlimited. You see, your form is limited, my form is limited. If we're shot by our arrows, if we're bleeding with arrow wounds, we will not feel happy. But God has such an unlimited form that he can be shot with arrows and be in great and be experiencing great happiness. Even in this material world, there's an example given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sometimes the lovers, they will bite each other. They call it in English language, they call such a bite a hickey. So, that bite is taken as a very pleasing thing. Lover's bite. Even if it leaves a bruise on the body, it's considered a very pleasing thing. So this is an example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving for this pastime between Krishna and Bhishma. It is like the lover's bite. It is taken as an affectionate way, not an inimical way. So such conceptions of the Lord and his relationships with devotees, they completely smash the impersonal conception. Completely smash the impersonal conception. This impersonal conception is not at all satisfying. They say that love makes the world go round. And they say that you cannot live in a world without love. So impersonalism means a world without love. If I am you and you are me and there's nothing else except the oneness, then who is to give the love and who is to receive the love? There's no one there to give the love or to receive it. So this impersonal philosophy means a world devoid of love, where you can't have any relationships with anyone, you can't have any experiences. It's just turning everything off or merging it into some white light. But this is not at all the fact of the matter. The fact is that we have relationships with the Lord. We have our original identity in the spiritual world in a loving relationship with the Supreme Person. So all we have to do is get back to our original identity in the spiritual world. So how do you do that? How does one get back to their original identity in the spiritual world? This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. You see. That one very fortunate living being who receives the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that jiva receives the seed of bhakti planted within the heart. So how does that seed of bhakti enter the heart? Through the ears. When we hear the transcendental Krishna Katha from the lips of the bona fide spiritual master. And if our heart is soft, it's receptive. You see, if your heart is hard, then nothing will happen. It will just, you'll hear it, it'll go in one ear and go out the other ear. But if one's heart is soft and one hears from the bona fide spiritual master the topics of Lord Sri Krishna, then that will take the form, that Krishna Katha will take the form of a seed which will enter into the heart and take root there. And if one will regularly water that seed by regularly chanting and hearing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One will regularly water that seed. Then that seed will become nourished. That seed will flourish. And a devotional creeper will manifest bhakti lata. A devotional creeper will manifest, will sprout from that seed, and will actually pierce through the coverings of this material universe and go all the way into the spiritual sky, where it will travel through the vast spiritual sky all the way to Krishna Loka, where it will entwine itself around the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And the full-blown fruit of love of Godhead will then manifest from that plant, that devotional creeper. So it all begins with submissively hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. That submissive hearing then implants the seed of bhakti within the heart. If you have a seed in your garden, then you must do two things so that that seed will be successful in growing and becoming a plant and giving fruit. Number one, you have to water it. If you don't water the seed, it will dry up and die. You may have the seed of bhakti planted in your heart, you see. But if that seed is not regularly watered, then that will dry. It will dry up and die. So what is the watering process? You have to every day chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And how much water does it take? What is the minimum amount of water necessary to keep the plant alive and growing? Do you know the minimum amount of water?
16 rounds,
that's right. 15 rounds is not enough water to keep the plant alive. 16 rounds minimum is required to keep the plant alive and growing. You can water it more, that's even better. It will grow faster. But at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna japa you must do to water the seed. And there are also weeds that you have to keep out of the garden. What are those weeds?
Atimata.
No. Atimata is something else.
Atimata is offenses, their offenses.
That is called, yeah, the weeds are
offenses.
They actually the second through the tenth offense are the actual weeds. You see, they're nothing compared to the Atimata. The first offense is not compared to a weed. The first offense is compared to an elephant. The ten offenses actually are the weeds, but the first of them is actually categorized not as a weed, but as a mad elephant. So there's defenses against the holy name, those are weeds. We have to avoid those weeds. Because the weeds will choke out the garden. But the most dangerous of all is the first offense, and that is so heavy it's called an elephant, a mad elephant, instead of being called a weed. If you allow a mad elephant to enter your garden, and he will trample it, he will ruin all the plants. One step, finished. You see, those big feet. So we have to build a very strong fence that we do not commit any offenses toward devotees. And this is a big problem that neophyte devotees have sometimes. Especially when they're living together in an ashram situation. They have a problem of being offensive to each other sometimes. So we have to be very careful not to be offensive. So how do you avoid being offensive? Some say, well, I'll just stay in the closet. Then I won't be offensive. But no, that's not practical. The practical way to avoid being offensive is to always be respectful. Therefore, every day we should offer our respectful obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanang pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Should always be in the mood of offering respects to the devotees, appreciating their saintly qualities. If we have a positive feeling of love and respect for the devotees, then naturally we will not commit offense. If we try to just remain neutral and without having any feelings towards the devotees, good or bad, that's the impersonalist approach. That doesn't work. If you want to actually avoid being offensive to devotees, then you have to positively manifest loving exchanges with the Vaishnavas. And that will automatically make one free from the tendency to commit offenses by being always respectful to the devotee. So we can ask now if there's any question.
I had two questions. Yeah, a spirit cannot be cut, cannot be bruised, cannot be killed. So Krishna's body is spiritual. So one may think, if the spirit will have blood, pus and all that too, so that the blood was coming out of Krishna's body?
It does mention in the scriptures that the transcendental Lord is without veins.
Yeah.
So one may question, well, where did the blood come from?
Yeah.
Well, Krishna can manifest blood whenever he wants to for some pastime.
That is true. Okay?
That's right. That's why Prabhupada says that this is a bewildering problem for the non-devotee atheist. Yeah.
So
Krishna does this.
How can it be resolved?
Well, for us there's no nothing to even resolve, but for the non-devotee, how will it be resolved? They have to become a devotee. Only then can they understand. Krishna says, I'm revealing this to you because you're my friend and my devotee. If something is bewildering the mind of some academic scholar who's trying to explain the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam academically, I'm sorry, but he'll never really get over his bewilderment unless he becomes a devotee. At least he has to become, have faith in the commentaries of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Then, at least, if he must have made an intellectual, at least he must have faith in the Vaishnava commentaries on the Bhagavatam, and then he will no longer have a problem. But that means he's becoming a devotee. As soon as you put faith in the words of the Vaishnava Acharyas, then already you're becoming a devotee. You see? We have no problem with these things because we put our full faith in Srila Prabhupada. We have full faith. This is such an important thing. You must have faith in the words of Guru. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata in this way, tata deve tata guru tata sheta kititar hyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls who have implicit, unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. You have to have faith in the words of Sri Guru and the words of Sri Krishna. If you have faith in these two authorities, Guru and Krishna, then you can understand, there's nothing bewildering in the scriptures. You'll be able to understand everything. Everything will make sense. Even the fifth canto, which bewilders the mind of many neophyte devotees. How the Vedic cosmology could possibly be like that. But if you have full faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, then everything can become clearly understood. Unflinching faith is required. Absolute, total, complete faith. Questions more?
So, how does one develop this unflinching faith?
Faith is a contagious disease. So, you have to associate with those who have strong faith. That's the key. You have to associate with, hear submissively from, and submissively serve those who have very strong faith. And then you will automatically develop faith. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to one's association. So by associating with those who have very strong faith, unflinching faith, then you will automatically develop that quality yourself. Associating means in a favorable way. Submissively hearing from, submissively serving in a favorable way. Sometimes we see a disciple will associate with the spiritual master in an unfavorable way, to where the spiritual master corrects them and they go to their room and cry and boycott the lecture. You see, that sort of mood doesn't work. We've seen them, one disciple. They were corrected, so they couldn't handle it, so they boycotted the Sunday feast lecture, crying in their room. You see, that doesn't work. One has to be mature and has to be dutiful, has to be just, you know, I'm at the service of my spiritual master. Whether he flatters me or he chastises me, I'm simply his servant. I'll take whatever he gives me as his mercy. He gives me a nice soft rose, and I'll appreciate that. And he zaps me with a thunderbolt, I'll appreciate that also. You see? One who is willing to take whatever the spiritual master gives him, whether it's the rose or the thunderbolt, and just go on serving and trying to please Guru Maharaj in every circumstance, that person will get the constant blessings of his spiritual master. And his faith will be very strong. Questions, Marv? So tonight we will have a meeting. Darshan, when you come back. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Everything is clearly understood now. The science of bhakti is clearly now understood. Okay.
Yeah, you said one should have an unflinching faith and that in Guru and Krishna. So now in ISKCON we have so many gurus. And you said about associating. And so many, not so many gurus only, but so many gurus' disciples. So when a person may be a disciple of some guru, maybe associating with another guru, and then they may say something bad about another guru, so how can they develop the influencing faith in another guru?
Well, that should not be going on. That's highly improper.
But that happens. That should not be, but that happens.
If some other authority says something bad about one's spiritual master, one should immediately get away from that place. That's very bad. It's a blasphemy. It's a sin.
But
one should avoid such.
One may go away.
One should avoid hearing such.
One may go away and one may avoid. But the first word.
Is that going on in our society? The other gurus are blaspheming other gurus. That's very bad.
Not other gurus. I said their disciples could be doing. I did not say.
Oh, the disciples. Oh, okay. Some disciple criticizes someone else's guru. That's a very offensive thing. One should avoid such a blasphemous snake.
But that can create, you can avoid it, but that can create a little doubt in the disciple, and it creates confusion in the disciple also.
Yes, it certainly will. That's why you have to avoid it.
But the first meeting has already created the question. So how they can develop that?
By the same method that we explained a moment ago. The way to strengthen faith and the way to counteract doubts is the same. Same method. One should reveal to the spiritual master exactly what happened, what was heard. If some negative thing was heard by, someone criticized, and one's mind is disturbed, then one can reveal that to the spiritual master. I heard this and my mind is very disturbed. One can reveal that to the spiritual master. The spiritual master can help one to get over that. This happened to us. Prabhupada's godbrothers used to criticize Prabhupada. There was an attempt in the Gaudiya Math to minimize Prabhupada's position and actually infected our society.
My point, that it happened.
And Prabhupada was very, very disturbed.
It's still happening.
He was very, very disturbed by him. Extremely disturbed. In fact, you may have read in the Lama, but Prabhupada was so disturbed that this was going on. You know what he did? Did you read this? You know what Prabhupada did? He called to Mahakrishna as he said, "Get me out of here." He was in the Los Angeles temple. He said, "Get me out of here." There was this subtle contamination against Prabhupada going on amongst the devotees. Somehow an infection had come in from the Gaudiya Math. Then he said, "Where will you take me?" And Tamal Krishna said, "I can take you to Florida." Prabhupada said, "It is not far enough away." Okay, Florida is 3,000 miles. He said it wasn't far enough away. So Prabhupada ended up going to India, actually, Japan and India. And then the whole thing became rectified, but there was a contamination at that time in the society. It even got to the point where the Mayavadi philosophy was being preached within ISKCON. The Prabhupada is God. And unless you accept that he is God, you must leave ISKCON. It really got bad. The contamination, on the one hand, he was being minimized. On the other hand, they are preaching Mayavadi philosophy. This is back in 1970. This happened. And that's when Prabhupada formed the GBC to deal with these kind of things. So sometimes it happens in our, in the society of devotees. There may be some negative thing may be there against the spiritual master.
I'm seeing that it's happening a lot.
Well, it has to be dealt with. This is really not so much a matter... I don't want to get it into the details because this is a Bhagavatam class. It's being recorded for worldwide distribution.
No, but this is a question from me.
The answer is given. Okay. That if there is any blasphemy of the spiritual master, minimization of the spiritual master, then one must avoid that. One must completely avoid hearing such things. One should defeat that also. If one can defeat with opposing arguments such statements, then one should do them. If one cannot, one should avoid. And if one should notify the spiritual master what was said, so that something can be done to stop such things going on in our society. Any other questions? All right. We will stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.